Welcome to Your Food Business Success. This podcast is for early stage entrepreneurs in the packaged food industry ready to finally turn that delicious idea into reality. I'm your host, Sari Kimball. I have guided hundreds of food brand founders to success as an industry expert and business coach, and it's gotta be fun. In this podcast, I share with you mindset tools to become a true entrepreneur and run your business like a boss. Interviews with industry experts to help you understand the business you are actually in, and food founder journeys so you can learn what worked and didn't work and not feel so alone in your own journey. Now let's jump in. Welcome back to the podcast. All right. I don't know if I've been able to say this statement ever before, but if there is ever a podcast episode that will help you be a part of the future to really leverage your time and to get on the upside of the curve so that you're ahead of things, this is the podcast. I just listened to it for the second time, editing it, and I was, again, mind blown, incredible. And I asked Dax, who is our guest today, talking about AI, I asked him to put together a video that shows you guys what he's talking about, because he's going to explain some things that are more visual. And in this video, it's over on the YouTube channel. You have to go to the Food Business Success YouTube channel and you'll see this video on AI right next to episode 190. I'll also put the link for the video directly in the show notes below. It was so cool watching it. I was just like, what is happening? I had no idea. And we talk about some stuff around Google and your Google business pages and how to embrace the changes that are coming around SEO so that you can take advantage of opportunities and at the very least not completely fall behind and be left behind. So without further ado, here is my conversation on AI with Dax Hammond. I am excited about this topic because I'll be honest, I'm kind of a newbie myself. And so I brought on somebody way smarter than me to talk about this big topic called AI. And so I'm excited to welcome on Dax Hammond, and his company is called FOMO.AI. And he's going to just tell us all the things, what we need to know and how we can use AI to benefit us. So welcome to the podcast, Dax.
Thank you very much. I think the timing of this is great because AI is, shall we say, peak hype, but definitely not probably peak performance. I imagine many of you have been into these tools and you've tried it and you've played around with it. And some of you have been like, oh my God, that was great. That saved me hours. And some of you will be like, oh, that was garbage. I can't use that.
I can't use any of that. Or some people are very scared of it and like, what is this? I don't even know, right? Like, it's easy to put your head, like, sometimes I'm just like, oh, one more thing. Actually, I remember exactly where I was when ChatGPT was just coming out and I was in Las Vegas and somebody was telling me about it. And I was like, I can't do one more thing.
Yeah, it's true. I think we're all, as sort of business owners, inundated with the things we're meant to be doing, right? And we're told all the time, now we've got to be doing a podcast. We've got to be producing daily video content. We've got to be sending out 2 emails a day. It's an overwhelming amount of stuff that we're meant to be doing. And I get that AI can feel a little bit like that. In theory, though, where I would want you all to get to is that the AI should take away all of that stuff, and it should really do a lot of that stuff for you. And I think the problem really is when it was launched, particularly because there was the story, if you remember, about the Google engineer who claimed the AI had gone sentient and it was going to go and take over the world. And, you know, we need to go to the Supreme Court and talk about assigning human rights to this AI. So the expectation in January 23, when it was sort of launched to the masses, was set to us as, we've invented this sci-fi AI that we can just have a quick conversation with. And it's like a team of 10 people that are magically going to go away and do our work. And the reality is nobody's invented AI yet. We have some pretty good tools that are pretty good rating content at making images. That's the sort of reality of what we've got. And then our task is to figure out how do you take that thing that's not the sentient thing we thought, but it's still pretty mind-blowingly good, and do something useful with it.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was saying before we started recording, when I did a Fuel VIP call where I showed how you could use ChatGPT, after I got over my initial, oh my gosh, not one more thing. And then I started using it and I read a little bit about how to use it better. And people, whenever, anytime I do it with clients or anything, their minds are just blown, right? Just with ChatGPT. But first of all, maybe we should take a step back and say, what do you do? You know, who are you a little bit more? Introduce yourself. And then we can jump into, you know, what is AI? Because I think maybe we use ChatGPT and AI interchangeably, but they're not. And so maybe you can give us a little broader definition.
Absolutely. So my name is Dax, CEO and founder of a company called FOMO, Fear of Missing Out. AI. And I specifically called it that because, you know, we all know in marketing, we should sell to the big emotional feelings that people have. And just to that sort of couple of minute conversation we had there, we know there's a lot of potential, but then we also feel like it's something else we're not doing yet. We're not doing enough of, or maybe we're not doing it right. So we are missing out. And the divide that is going to come from the people who are doing it versus that are not is going to come so fast, and it will accelerate so fast that if you sort of don't start now, you're never really going to be in a position to catch up. So we created FOMO.ai because essentially what we're doing is all the stuff we're going to talk about today, we're putting this simple layer on top of it. And so that means you can come into the platform and say, this is what I'm trying to do. Great. And ultimately, we're building non-human marketing teams. So you will be able to plug in within a very short period of time into your business, agents, as we call them, that operate like supplemental marketing people that will do a lot of this work for you without you having to touch the AI, right? And that's pretty astonishing to think about. I would say my background, you know, I used to build ad agencies. If you ever watched Mad Men, that was sort of my world for a long time. And then built tech company, co-founded a tech company 8-9 years ago. And the difference in what you can do today compared to 8-9 years ago, even 3-4 years ago, is astonishing. And the point that a company like FOMO can get to in such a short period of time is years ahead of what we'd have been able to do 3 or 4 years ago. And in part, that's because of things like AI tools, but also it's a big sort of open source community out there. But that's our thing, FOMO.ai. We are building non-human marketers to plug into your businesses. And as we get to that point, we have managed services. So we just use the AI on people's behalf for their marketing.
Wow. I am like, oh my gosh, I need this. And it's also, yeah, it can feel overwhelming, can feel scary. I mean, I consider myself fairly tech savvy, and even that is like, oh, how do I even get started and all those things. And I shared with you that a lot of my listeners, you know, a lot of people, we make food, right? That's what we do. We make the most amazing food and we just want to share it with people. And you know, and then there's this pesky little thing called sales and marketing, where we make the most amazing salsa and cookies and coffee and all these things. But now we need to, you know, go and get more people in our net and the funnels and, you know, find people on social media or go to farmers markets or find people on Amazon or get into stores and all the things. And so I love having this conversation so you can kind of help open my mind and hopefully some other folks on maybe just making it not quite so scary.
Well, right? I think the good news is we'll talk about during this conversation, but Google is having to react to all of this AI stuff, and their reaction and what they're doing and they're accepting and their thinking is also changing almost week by week, certainly month by month. And there really is a once in a decade opportunity with how Google is changing to go grab this unfair share of Google's attention. So we'll make sure we get
okay.
To that.
Yes.
I think it is the biggest marketing window of opportunity any of us have ever had.
Yeah. Well, I told you I did not do a lot of prep because I'm kind of new to this too. And so I'd love for you to, you know, what do we need to know? Like, tell me what my first question should be. Maybe I should have used AI.
not uncommon, actually. So let me sort of make some clarifications, lay some foundations, sort of explain where we are and where we're not, right, with all of this sort of AI stuff and how you can use it in a way that makes you efficient today, and then stuff that you should be waiting for, right, and not trying to waste your time trying to make it do today. So at this point, we've probably all heard of OpenAI, ChatGPT. That's probably the main things we've heard. OpenAI is the sort of company. It's actually a nonprofit, which is interesting, that launched this thing called ChatGPT. The fact that it's a nonprofit is interesting. And the fact that we keep seeing these headlines around the CEO getting fired and reinstated and Microsoft's involvement and Elon Musk's involvement, it's very confusing. It was a very nice, clever idea, OpenAI, initially, to create this nonprofit that democratized the AI for the world so that you didn't have just one sort of big corporation who dominated an AI. Because some people laugh when I say this, but I cannot emphasize this enough. This is a bigger revolution than the invention of electricity. Mm. We're not seeing that full potential yet. It'll come soon. It's like we're still rolling the electricity out, right? House to house sort of thing, right? I sort of like that analogy. But it is bigger than that by orders of magnitude. And so the idea of OpenAI trying to give the access to everybody was a really cool idea. And to a degree, they're still sort of doing that. And there's debates over, you know, to what degree are they going too commercial. But Elon Musk was part of that. Microsoft is an investor. That's their involvement. ChatGPT is an odd name. The GPT stands for Generative Pre-trained. Right. I mean, if you're thinking about marketing, that's not the sexiest of names, but ChatGPT somehow we managed to get it to stick. What does that mean? The generative bit means it can generate output, right? And so if you've gone on and asked it to write a social media post or an article, it can generate output. And without getting into too much of the weeds, it's really not thinking in the way sci-fi makes us think about AI. It's actually just predicting what the next word should be. And that sounds really strange to say, but that's why you sometimes get some odd outcomes from it when you're using it. So very high level, a company like OpenAI went and got as much of the world's information as it possibly could. And it put that into a, let's just call it a database for the time being, right? And from that, they made these things, this idea of, okay, you've got all that knowledge. How do we now break that down in a way so it's based on topics, it's based on interests, it's based on word usage, so that we can have some sort of output when people ask us a question, right? And there's a lot of different ways I could explain that. And for the sake of this conversation, I'm just going to sort of leave it there, right? Know that a company like OpenAI just has most of the world's information inside it, and then they're transforming that in a way that makes it useful, right? We won't go into more detail. It is pre-trained to have this understanding that humans are going to talk to it. And from that output, we're going to get something, right? We give it some input, we get some output. I feel like I'm sort of, for those people listening who know a lot about AI, they're going to be like, oh, he's totally butchered that. It gives you an idea though, right? I was trying to sort of keep it simple. But okay, so OpenAI has ChatGPT. You are also going to hear names like Anthropic. That is a company like OpenAI, and their equivalent of ChatGPT is called Claude. You will hear about Google, and they had something for a while called Bard that they now call Gemini, right? So you've got all these companies playing in this space, and then you've got all these tools or models that we can all use, right? Another phrase to demystify is you will hear people in this space talking about LLMs or large language models, right? Again, not a sexy marketing term. That's just that big store of all of the information, right? And all of these things are important as I sort of explain what's going on. What you need to know is, as a user, as somebody who probably wants to use this for marketing and in your business, ChatGPT is one option, Claude is another, Gemini is another. And we are going to see lots and lots and lots of these come about, and people are innovating in that in all sorts of ways. As of, where are we? Sort of March 2024, ChatGPT is on version 4. We're expecting version 5 very soon. The difference between each level of model is almost monumental. It's almost impossible to comprehend the level of improvement. So today, for instance, with FOMO.ai, we don't use ChatGPT as such. What we're doing is we're talking to OpenAI and their sort of back-end systems, right? And it means we can generate content and do SEO and stuff at a lot larger scale. We today have to have our systems try and write content multiple times in different ways. We have these sort of non-human editors that go check the content, etc. I actually think our job probably gets 10 times easier at least when ChatGPT version 5 comes out, right? So when you hear these companies release it, it's not like Microsoft Windows or Microsoft Office went from like 9 to 10 and it's like, it's fine. It got a bit better. It's still annoying. Why is my laptop still slow? Why didn't I switch to a Mac? This is monumental, right? This is like, we didn't have electricity. Now we've got electricity. Now we've got nuclear power, right? So that, yeah, it's that big. So AI today, the expectation you should have is it's human in the loop AI. What that means is you should not have an expectation that the AI is just going to do something for you and the output's going to be ready. Right. I like to think at the moment for things like writing content for SEO, writing emails, writing social media posts, assume it's going to save you anything from 50 to 80% of your time, not 100% of your time. Right. We will see with version 5 ChatGPT if that's 100% of the time. Probably not. Right. Assume for another year or two, we are creating output that humans at least need to be having a look at. Okay. That is particularly important maybe for some listeners because you might be in what Google calls a YMYL category, or your money or your life category. So if you make a food product that has any sort of health benefits or health claims, right, it is critical in Google's eyes that you get that information right. It is far more important that you understand this is not sci-fi sentient AI. It is going to save you some time. It's going to generate you some content. You're going to have to review that. Okay.
Right. Let's not assume that it's backed everything against the FDA and all of the things, right?
Not at all.
It may make a claim, but doesn't mean that you can do it.
Exactly right. It wants to please you. And so sometimes it dreams. Well, lies would be another phrase, but people politely say it dreams, right? I don't know why we can't say that in life. And it will completely make up things, right? There were some early cases where a lawyer went to court and the judge, you know, actually punished the lawyer because he cited case law that didn't exist because OpenAI invented it. So we are at the human in the loop stage. So what can you do today? When we think about the use case that we talked about at the beginning of this conversation around marketing and things. Actually, marketing is a great use case for AI because a lot of it is content-based. A lot of it is written-based. So you can do quite a lot that you couldn't do before. I will say, though, a couple of caveats before I give the examples. One is I'm lucky in that having done that Mad Men thing for a couple of decades, I know what really good marketing looks like, just because that's my world, right? For most people, probably thankfully for them, marketing has not been their world. And so the idea of understanding what does great look like is not always easy. And, you know, a comparison would be, I probably don't know if I was coming up with a new soup recipe, what really great looks like, right? However many of your listeners would. And that's important because when I talk about some of these examples you can do with AI today, you really have to go find what you think is the best comparison to what you're trying to make. So you know if the AI is giving you good output or not. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I'll just say, you know, I have a membership program and, you know, I consider myself pretty darn good with marketing. I've maybe not decades, but many years in marketing around this space. So I think bringing content and getting feedback inside our membership would be a really great way to, you know, if this isn't familiar for you, like, well, I don't know if this is good or not, then bring it into the membership. I'll just make that a little.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good solution. And so today for marketing, you can write very good long-form blog content. Google is perfectly okay with you using AI, right? There was a lot of fear of if you create AI content and put it into Google, Google's going to punish you in some way. They said a few months back they're okay with content generated by AI. However, it has to meet what they call the helpful content guidelines, which just means don't publish crap. And then also it has to be of a good quality, right? What Google just announced yesterday or the day before was a major algorithm change that is rolling out as we speak, that is going to start to try and cut back on a lot of the boring, very obvious ChatGPT sounding summary type article content, right? Because it's been flooded in its indexes with it. And it doesn't want that stuff, right? So the old adage applies. Just because you can do it faster doesn't always mean you should make more, right? If you have a site today and you're publishing 4 pieces of content a month, I wouldn't go past 10 or 12 for a while, right? Make sure the content's good. Do it faster, do it better, get some new ideas in there, but don't try and do what some people did and publish, 10,000 articles a month. There's been some experiments people have run. They're now blacklisted on those domains from Google, right? The old adages apply. Just make stuff good and use the tools to make it easier.
How does it know? How does it know that it's ChatGPT? Is it just that there aren't mistakes or that certain cadence of the language?
Good question. There are lots of claims that there are tools that can detect AI content. And there's been a lot of unfortunate use cases with sort of colleges and high schools and things around the world where they've paid for these AI content detectors. And studies have shown they are there about 60% accurate, which is not very good. And they generate a lot of false positives, which is the worst thing. And so some students and things have been punished for stuff. So I don't necessarily believe that Google has it down to exactly what content has been generated by AI or not. I will tell you that I can read an article that has been generated by something like ChatGPT by somebody who hasn't used the tools much, and I could immediately tell you with a pretty high degree of confidence it's that, because the structure is nearly always the same. The way it speaks is nearly always the same. It loves superlatives. It's, it just has the wrong idea about what good looks like. So you can write content. The other thing this is good for is social media content, creating long form Instagram descriptions, captions, doing sort of hashtags, etc. That's really good, right? And you can even get it, like if you publish an article and you go to ChatGPT and you take the URL of your article and you put it into ChatGPT and say, my audience is so-and-so, write me long form engaging social media posts for Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Threads, and produce me a YouTube and TikTok script from this article I just published. That's a dream scenario for something like ChatGPT. It is very, very good at doing that. And imagine how much time that is saving.
Right.
And that's in many ways what we're building, is that idea of we're just gluing all that functionality together. So if you had a full-time social media person on your team, they would do all those things and you would just see the output, right? With FOMO, we are just having each of those tasks done so that it's like having an employee on Slack, on email, or however you want to communicate with them long term, and it will just give you the output for you to approve. But that's a good thing for you to do. You can take a URL of an article, it doesn't even have to be your own article, and you can give it to ChatGPT and say, write me social media posts about this article. It is not bad at generating images. You have to have a little bit of a fight with it if you want it to sort of not be an over-colorized ChatGPT looking image, right? You can ask for an illustration. You can ask for it in the style of such and such an artist. You can ask for it to be similar to these other people's social media examples, right? And then you'll get something probably a little bit more unique. Or you can just marry the text that AI generated for you with the with images you already use. So it's great for social, it's great for content, it's great for sort of SEO and doing keyword research. So Gemini, which is free from Google, by the way, on ChatGPT, just pay the $20 and get the pro version. It's so much better. Just do it. If you're going to use it at all.
Thank you. I was going to ask you that actually. I've been doing my, I'll just use the free version. But I learned a very hard lesson this last weekend about, in a different scenario, about not just paying the monthly thing. And so, yeah, I'm now on a let's not try to save a couple pennies for.
Yeah, I'm all for it. But I have to say, for the hours that we'll all save, it's great. Then, so Gemini is really good for SEO because Gemini is owned by Google and you can ask it for lots of good data around SEO. So for you to figure out what content you're going to go write, you can have a conversation with Gemini. You can say, here is my website, right? Give it your URL. It can't do like a technical site audit and things yet, but it can at least sort of look at what you're doing. You can ask it to ask you what it needs to know to help you. So you can go to Gemini and ChatGPT or Claude and say, I need you to be my expert SEO. You now ask me everything you need to know because I don't know what you need to know. And it will do that for you. And then you've got like an expert SEO person in your pocket, right?
I'm totally doing that.
it's really helpful. Ask it to ask you. Just flip the table on it and it can do that. And so it's great for doing sort of up-to-date keyword research, and then it's great for turning that into content and articles. It's sort of a really nice way to make sure the content you're going to produce is going to be right for your audience. Image generation, pretty good. It's really not bad. I mean, if for those of you who are happy to go a little bit deeper, go check out something called Midjourney. Midjourney has a lot more capabilities for image generation. You can get photos really out of it, which is cool. I'm in something called Old Man Book Club, and I'm in my late 40s, and which pains me to say, by the way. I've never said late 40s before. I just had a reaction to that.
We're the same age, Dax. We're fine.
It just surprised me I said that, having never said that phrase before. And Old Man Book Club is great because apart from one other guy, probably in his 50s, everyone else is in their 80s. And so it's proper Old Man Book Club. And we were reading this book about the rolling out of electricity in the early 1900s across Ireland. And I was actually able to give descriptions of these villages that the story was set in and generate what looks like photographs of those scenes that were in the book. And when you see something that genuinely looks like photographs, it's very hard to wrap your head around. That place never existed. Those people never existed. The AI, when you see those images, has created that from scratch.
Wow. Okay. I've never used the images. So
yeah, no, it's really fun. So we have really good image generation now. Sora, S-O-R-A, just came out from OpenAI, and that's now doing video generation. And for any of you who sort of want to see that, I have like a what I call a playground sort of presentation that I do that's always showing what's new and great. And the Sora videos for a V1, more than good enough to create video for social media. Right. That's... You can have someone, you know, in your world, you can say, I want a video clip of an overstressed, busy parent pushing a full shopping cart with four kids running around, and it will make you that video instantaneously.
Wow.
And the copyright question often comes up. So all of this stuff has open copyright, which means you can use it commercially without permission. Just know anything you generate from these tools, other people can use as well. That's the sort of pro and the con. So things like stock imagery industry, that's dead. Gone. That won't exist soon. But at the moment, when you generate these images, unless you do some manual manipulation, you don't own the copyright either. So we have images, we have video. Audio is so good today that there was a story just 2 weeks ago where a lady who works at a bank in Hong Kong was on a video call with her CFO and two of their colleagues, three people she knows well. And she is the financial controller. And so it is her job to move large amounts of money for a bank. On that call, the CFO instructed her to move $25 million, which is apparently not an extraordinary sort of, you know, task for her in a bank. So she didn't think too much of it. And she's on a video call with her CFO and two colleagues, and she did so. The only downside is she was the only human on the call. So they got scammed for $25 million. There's a lot of, I have four kids, and there's a lot we could talk about around the world that the kids are going to be in around exploitation and faking voices and all sorts of things that societally we're going to have to start thinking about very quickly.
Wow.
Audio, no one will build a human call center in 12 months.
Hmm.
Right? Like, this is the sorts of bricks that are starting to fall. And there's big societal implications, and I'm just going to stick now to, like, the business and marketing side.
So all of our brains are exploding.
Think about where this is going. So that's some of the things that AI is very good at doing today. I want to talk about this big Google change, because I think it's probably the biggest thing we all have sitting in front of us. Google, up until this point of 2024, we have always thought of Google as a search engine. We go to Google, we ask it to find something, and the emotional connection we have to Google, the reason why we all go back to Google, is because Google is consistently good at finding stuff for us that we want, right? That's what we have known it to be. Google is about to stop being a search engine and become what I call a knowledge engine. So Google really got caught with its pants down in January 2023. It knew about OpenAI, of course, for years. It's been sort of in development. But I think it was stunned at how good ChatGPT version 3 was at the time, or 2.5, and how quickly it took off. And so they have been figuring out what they do in response, to the point, actually, that they called back Larry Page and Sergey Brin, who founded Google, to, like, be part of this think tank to figure out what's next. Google knows this idea of you give it a search and then it gives you some results back isn't going to cut it for you anymore. You don't want that experience. ChatGPT is turning us all into people who want to chat and have a conversation with something to help us narrow down. So in response to that, Google has rolled out what is called SGE, Search Generative Experience. Again, not a sexy name. For tools that can really make good marketing stuff, all of this has good names. So SGE feels more like ChatGPT. It is a chat type interface. So you go put your search in. And the reason why I say Google's stopping being a search engine is 50% of all of the clicks from Google are about to go away. We're going to see a 50% reduction in clicks from Google. And that's happening because Google, instead of just giving them the links to people's websites, is going and sort of scanning and reading those websites, summarizing the information and answering the questions itself on your behalf inside of Google. That is the negative side, right? That is why I say, in some cases, this is the biggest threat to businesses in a decade. Because if you already have a business that is relying heavily on Google organic traffic, expect that to become extremely volatile very quickly. And this is not some future fanciful thing. This is already the default search experience in 117 countries by Google. You can sign up for SGE already, and we are seeing it appear at a higher and higher percentage in the search results if you are part of that program. So it is imminently coming. So we're going to see a reduction in traffic. The positive side is a study was done in December 2023, so just a few months ago, and what they found was 96% of all of the pages that are listed in old Google, or Google as you listening to this think of Google
OG
today,
Google.
OG Google. 96% of the pages in that don't appear in new Google. 96%. That tells us virtually everybody who's listening to this, but also all of your competitors who aren't listening to this and still don't know, have not done anything to prep for SGE. There is an opportunity to prep for SGE now, so that as this becomes active and all your old work you've put into SEO so far becomes perhaps almost irrelevant. Huge investment, I know, I'm sorry. Not my fault. I'm not Google. I'm not OG Google going away. A lot of that work is going to be irrelevant. And if you prep for SGE today, then as this becomes default, you will be somewhere where most of your competitors are not. This would be like getting onto TikTok early, getting onto Instagram early, getting onto Facebook early, right? So what does prepping mean? And I'll briefly sum it up because there's a bunch to it, but the old G Google technical SEO stuff still applies, right? You got to have a site that's indexable and it works and all that kind of good stuff. What Google wants is for you to be a part of the conversation. And for it to do that, let me back up. We all have I'm going to whisper this because otherwise I accidentally set everybody's devices off in their home. But we all know, right? If you say like, hey, Siri, or hey, Google, right now, you may have noticed your behavior changes. So it might have been, for instance, historically, you might have typed in AI marketing company, right? If you were looking for something like FOMO. We use fragmented words and statements. When we use our voices, we generally ask questions. What is the best AI marketing company? Can an AI marketing company really help me XYZ, right? We ask questions. And if you go do a search in OG Google today, you will already see people also ask, which is questions that are being asked and answered, right? That is because Google is leading you to a conversation because it knows it is more human to ask questions, right? And asking questions is a conversation. So you should be thinking about content on your site that is question and answer structured. You should be thinking about content on your site that answers the biggest questions your audience might have, whether it's about ingredients, usage, nutrition, whatever is relevant to everybody listening, to your business. You need to really think hard about what those questions are. And that's the content that you need to be addressing. The final high-level piece of winning in this SG new Google world is Google wants to know who produced this content. If we are going to stop emotionally attaching ourselves to Google as being a search engine, and now we're going to have higher expectations that it knows and it's going to tell us the things we want, Google wants to make damn sure it's giving you good information. And so it does that with something called the double eats. It wants to see if your site and you as an individual match the double eats. The double eats are experience, expertise, authority, and trust. And so you have to do new things, such as putting a proper bio page on your site. For every piece of content you write, you've got to have an author name links to your bio page. Your bio page has got a link to your other work and your experience, right? So Google can evaluate you and the site. So it says, this person wrote this bit of content. I've got all these people asking questions about that topic. This person has really good sort of authority signals. I'm going to summarize that content and include it in my conversation back to that person.
Wow.
That's the new Google marketing.
Oh my God, my brain is exploding.
I recognize all of that is a lot to digest.
I mean, I'll be honest, I know this is a podcast for all my listeners, but of course I'm thinking about me right now having a moment of like, oh my gosh, I got some work to do. I better be sure. Yeah, how do I make sure, you know, because I put out so much content and making sure that it's being seen as expert.
And putting out content is great and you should continue to do that. There is now, though, just a different way that has to be sort of presented and structured. And, you know, we would encourage you to produce certain types of content that answer certain questions, right? Because now the trick really is, what is the conversation? And how do you insert yourself in that conversation, right? I always encourage people two things. One, whenever you're talking to these AI tools, imagine you're talking to a teenager, right? You might ask them to do the laundry. Are they going to? Are they going to do it the same way every time? Are they going to remember to put soap in even though they have 100 times before, right? Talk to AI like you're talking to a teenager. But in this sort of SGE world, always visually imagine that there's a group of people stood around in real life talking about something related to your products. Think about what they might be saying and asking each other. And then if you were to come in and try and insert yourself into that group, something many of us hate doing at like networking events and things, right? It's like, what is the thing you could insert into that conversation, right? That's the content that you should be producing for your site, your marketing.
Okay, that's incredible. And you can probably tell from my face, I am feeling a little overwhelmed, feeling like I'm behind the eight ball here.
I would say, don't feel bad. Don't beat yourself up if you sort of feel behind the curve on this. It is happening so incredibly fast. First time I was in tech was around the dot-com bubble. Major changes with the internet tech used to happen sort of, you know, that we all saw every year or two. Mm-hmm. Right, we had browser wars. Remember that? For like 8-9 years, some of your listeners will remember browser wars, right? And was it Netscape? Was it Internet Explorer?
Yes.
And how irrelevant that became so quickly. Major changes today are happening sometimes daily.
Wow.
And it is truly impossible for you to stay up to speed. And so, you know, I'd encourage you not to try in some ways, which might sound counterintuitive. I would say instead, don't get carried away with the bright, shiny, flashy objects. Think about core basic marketing, and you get comfortable using these tools on a daily basis to just help you do that quicker and more efficient. And then you're going to find yourself start adding more and more stuff.
So you free up more time, right? Then
that's right.
Then you'll have more time to look into these other things.
I would encourage everybody to say, okay, I'm going to find five things and I'm going to use these tools to make myself 50% more efficient at it. That's a great way to do it. And you can, it's not just marketing. You know, in real estate, we can upload a home inspection report and it does the analysis for the agent. We were making one the other day for some investors where you can upload any company's public records and it will give you full analysis on all of their sort of performance and what they're doing in what spaces, etc. So you can take documents, you could take your order documents, you could take your Shopify export, you could take your Google Ads data export, your Google Analytics export, just have it as an Excel or a PDF and throw that into ChatGPT and ask it to find things for you you might not have seen. Right? Or just produce you a monthly report. Give it all your marketing files in one go and say, I need a monthly summary of what's been happening with my paid media.
Wow.
And it's very good at doing that for you. Just check the math. At the moment, ChatGPT sometimes dreams math, which is not helpful.
Check the math. Okay. I have to say this. So the whole Google stuff of what you were telling me about having this conversation and, you know, you put in some questions and now it's spitting out information. I think where my brain goes to when I think about my listeners and they're starting these packaged food businesses or they're wanting to expand them, especially when you're just starting. I mean, my whole thing all along, why I created food business success is because people love to think they can just Google their way through licensing, through FDA compliance, through food safety, so much stuff. They can just get into so much pain, so much trouble, skipped steps, and, or honestly, overdoing it, like putting more money than they need to in at the beginning, because Google's like, you must do this, this, and this. And so trying to be that resource of the industry knowledge. And I guess along with that is that I think about the consultants and colleagues that I work with, like so much of it, they're not publishing online because it's their unique, their zone of genius, right? To offer paid services to tell you how you can extend your shelf life using specific, you know, natural preservatives or something like that. And so I guess I get a little like, oh my gosh, people are going to continue to just do, I mean, people do anyway, right? But think that it's going to be even better. There's so much knowledge that's just in people's experience in their heads and not on Google.
We're going to, for a long time, going to need people like you who have the collection or are the central collecting point of the knowledge and what works and what doesn't work. That's going to exist for a while. When I think about industries that are really under threat, I like to describe it as it's the bottom 80% of almost every industry. And that's high, right? But think about real estate. Real estate, there is, I forget the percentage, it was a crazy percentage over 50%, where more than half of all real estate agents in the US do less than 4 transactions a year. And many do 1 or 0, right? And they get into it potentially for the wrong reasons. They might see a friend make one big commission and think it's easy or whatever. You could replace a lot of the function of a mediocre or bad agent today, right? The 20% who put in the time and the effort at being the best and always up to date on what's new, always ahead of what's happening, right? They're going to survive the AI wave for a lot longer than the bottom 80%. And a lot of people are arguing that AI will swamp the internet with mediocre content, and that's all that we're going to see. I actually think after sort of this initial wave, it's going to be the exact opposite. I think it will be the death of mediocrity, because you have to strive
to be in the top 20% of what you do, because AI is going to replace the bottom 80%. And the way you do that is, you know, they learn from people like you who are collecting together those experiences in order to help them be in that top 20%. That's the new world. Almost every industry going forward is about being in that top 20%.
I love that. I'm all for that. And I love the idea of because there is so much mediocrity out there. I mean, sometimes when you Google start a food business, I mean, the first things that come up are just nonsense. It's ridiculous. And people come to my program and they're like, this said to do this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no, please don't do that. And so I hope people at least think about, you know, how do we be discerning and check, you know, finding experts still who have bodies of experience to then check your information against. It's worth making some of those investments with so much more information coming at you.
For sure. I mean, it's a little bit like FOMO, right? With FOMO.ai, we are marketers, so we can build great tools that happen to use the AI to do great marketing. When we build tools for real estate agents or whatever industry it is, we go get the people who are best at that, because we're good at making those tools, but they're the ones that need to give that knowledge and experience into it. And that's something that I think, unfortunately, a lot of AI tools that have come into the market already are missing. They're opportunistic, where people decided they were going to get into the AI sort of tech revolution and went to build companies, but they're building it with the expectation that the AI knows what it's doing in that industry, and rarely does it. You need that expertise. Otherwise, you're just going to get stuff that is questionable or just not top 20% stuff.
Hey, my Master Your Business students know I am all about the Pareto principle. I am all about the 80-20 rule. And I agree, we need to strive for being in the top 20%. And that number tracks with the percentages of businesses that are still in business after 5 years. That's about 20%. So we really need to be on top of our game and learning these tools, being ahead of the curve. This has nothing to do with AI, but this is why I also do mindset coaching, because most of being an entrepreneur is about hanging in there and becoming the top 20%, because anybody can start a food business. Anybody can start this out of your home kitchen, but who are the people who are actually going to rise to the top, right? It's like, you got to get over your own stuff and become more disciplined and learn what it takes to run a business and stop procrastinating and get over your fears of rejection. All of that
stuff. Then also it's just carrying on, right? I often get asked, like, what's the secret to, like, you know, building a big company? Stubbornness.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, stubbornness is a huge point of it, right? For me, it's a fear of not succeeding, right? I know that is sort of a psychological part of me. And so, you know, you just, it's grinding. It is, I try and end every day where I think I'm going to do one more thing that anybody else in this position wouldn't have bothered to do, because they're tired. They've had enough. They're fed up. Right. And that doesn't mean, say, I work 10, 12 hours a day. I pride myself on forcing myself not to work crazy, crazy hours, right? Because you also have to have time to think. But I think there is a real element of, if you can do one more thing every day, one more sales call, one more email, one more whatever, end of the year, that has really added up. And you are a lot further along than you ever would have imagined you are.
I love that. 1%. 1% better every day. Well, Dax, I said I wanted to keep this conversation short, but you were blowing my mind. So, oh my gosh. Wow. Hopefully people got a really nice overview and some of this, breaking news and changes that are coming on. And I feel like I've been probably behind the eight ball in most of those things, right? Facebook, Bitcoin. I actually remember talking to my now ex-husband saying, should we invest $100 in Bitcoin? I don't know much about this. It was really early days. And we were like, no.
Right. Interestingly, by the way, for those of you listeners who have been following AI a bit more, you know, just like COVID saved the QR code, I think that AI content generation will save blockchain.
Because for those of you who sort of are in that world a bit more, all that means is it actually means we can identify genuine content, who made it, how it was made, etc. So it's almost like a digital signature to content.
Oh, interesting.
So I think that's an interesting.
Oh yeah. Okay. I can follow that thread. All right.
Right. You don't have to use the stuff that it generates, right? So that makes it really, really nice. And I don't know at this point where best to start. I would perhaps almost, there's pros and cons between ChatGPT and Gemini. I think if you have listening to this and you haven't yet tried it at all, try Gemini from Google first, gemini.google.com. It's free. It has all the Google information in it. It doesn't have some of the advantages ChatGPT does, but still, I think it's a nice, easy place to do it. I think if you just start playing with it, you're going to get so much more comfortable quickly. Put the ChatGPT app on your phone, use Gemini on your phone browser, just ask it stuff day to day instead of using regular old Google, OG Google, and you are then in it. And if you're in it every day and that becomes a habit, you're just going to find it easier and easier and more natural to use this for your marketing and your business and whatever. We are less than 3 years away from a $1 billion valued company that has a single human being in it.
Wow.
You just have to start playing with it.
I think what you said is right on, you know, just start getting more comfortable with it because, you know, Facebook came out and we were all uncomfortable and then, you know, the more you use it, and then Instagram and TikTok, all these things, right? And I think I'm sure there's comparisons to, like, you know, the old days of like the mining days, or as we moved away from different kinds of work. And I just want people to use it to save time and to be in the know, so you don't get, you know, overtaken by this stuff. So thank you for sharing your knowledge with us.
No, as you can tell, I love this. I'm very passionate about it. So yeah. I will happily answer anybody's questions on the topic at all.
All right. You guys have got to go check out that video over on YouTube. It'll be posted right after this episode. This is episode 190. And go check out all of the crazy stuff, and especially the video that he shows you is really cool with the dog and how AI created that. And then he gets into this whole Google AI stuff and what it's going to look like for Google business stuff, which is super interesting. So I hope you found this really helpful. I'm guessing your mind is as blown as mine is. And I definitely want to bring Dax into our Fuel VIP group at some point and really help us sort this out. But to wrap up for today, I would just say, start embracing AI, be ahead of the curve, be at least on the curve, and not thinking, oh, this is just another fad. This is not another fad. This is reality. This is happening. And if you are running a business, let's start getting you time back by utilizing AI. And let's understand where we need to maybe change a little bit, pivot a little bit, so that we can take advantage of the opportunities that are coming along with AI. All right. Until next time, have an amazing week.